Blog Talk Radio.
This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Praise be to Allah, the God and Evolver, the Cherisher, the Sustainer of the worlds. We seek Him for assistance, we turn to Him asking forgiveness. Put our complete trust in Him, and I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except one God, Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is His servant and His messenger. We pray the peace and the blessings be upon the Prophet, upon his descendants, upon his companions, the righteous, all. Ameen. Allah Most High says in His book, the Quran, in the chapter or the surah by the title An-Nahl, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ وَالنُّجُومُ مُسَخَّرَاتٌ بِأَمْرِهِ. And He, that is God, has made subservient to you the night and the day, the sun and the moon, and the stars make obeisance, that is, they submit and render service, the Amrihi, by His command, by the command of God, that is. And also, Wa'idan, قال تعالى, the Most High God says, وعلامات وبالنجم هم يهتدون, and by the signs in the creation, and by the stars they are guided. أَفَمَنْ يَخْلُقُ كَمَنْ لَا يَخْلُقُ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Then is the one who creates like unto the one who does not create? Will not you reflect? There is but one God, that is Allah. There is no God other than Him. He is the Creator, and everything else is creation. He created us, He created Adam. And God says in His book that the parable or the likeness of Jesus' birth is that of Adam. And He created him from dust. And again, God Most High says in the Holy Book, Quran, that if He wished to take a son, He would take one or choose one from among those He created. Therefore, we must understand that whatever we worship beside God is creation, because God alone is creator. To worship Jesus, then, is to worship creation. He's created. And to worship Jesus is not to worship the Creator, because Jesus is not Creator, He is created. And to compare Jesus or any other with Allah as a God is wrong, because the one who creates cannot be compared with one who does not create. And God Most High also says in our holy book that the khalq as-samawat wal-ard, the creation of the skies and the earth, is a bigger creation than the creation of man. So that idea that man is the microcosm from a macrocosm, a small world from a big world, that is on his way back by divine route into the big world, from God back to God, from God back to God, as God, to be God, is all condemned in our religion. Man is not from God, he's from matter. And everything is created by God. If we want to think of ourselves as being from God, then we are from obedience to God. We are from obedience to God. We are from His will. From His plan. He created us to obey His will, and He created us obedient to His will. To return to God only means to return to that state of obedience. When we return to that state of obedience, conforming to what God created us to be, or created us for, then we have returned to God. We speak of those who die as returned to God. They have returned to God because they have no will of their own to act outside of the law of God. So they have returned to God. And the end for some will be hell, and the end for others is paradise, according to the word of God. And we start on in both conditions while we live in this life, according to the teachings of God in the Quran. The condition of happiness and tranquility, of peace, of paradise, begins in this life, and conditions of hell also begin in this life. So God says, أَفَمَنْ يَخْلُقُ كَمَنْ لَا يَخْلُقُ, is the one who created all this, who creates, to be likened to one who creates nothing? What an ignorant comparison man makes. That's because he's blinded by his own limited light. And again, God says He is the creator of everything. Al-Khaliqu kulli shay. He is the creator of everything. There is nothing that exists that Allah didn't create. Whatever is in existence, Allah created it. Allah says in the Quran, now show me. God proposes the argument Himself. Show me now what it is that they have created, these gods you claim to be God. Now God has created all of this. The whole universe is created by God. The cosmic reality, or whatever you may call it, is created by God. Now, you claim some other God? Show us. Show us that they created. They have created nothing. No one will say, see that little star up there? My God created that one. No one will be that big a fool. No, the one God created them all. And whatever has been responsible for all of it is responsible for all consequences and all things that evolve from it. Nothing can be a consequence and nothing can be an evolution in what he has done that would be given to the credit of another. No, if he has created it, the one who created it created its potential, created its design, created also its fate and its destiny. So whatever happens is because of that one who created it all. So Muslims must understand that the attribute of God that distinguishes us from many other people, including Christians, is Creator. We believe in none but the Creator, not in the Son of the Creator, not in the Spirit of the Creator, only in the Creator himself. For the Son is his creation, and the Spirit only acts by his command. Praise be to Allah. So we've come through a season that is dying out. Each time they take the census, every 10 years, they have a weaker generation in that belief. It's a dying belief. This Christmas thing. It's a dying belief. And you who are still staying with it, you should think about it. It's a dying belief. And the people that give themselves to that kind of thing are the misguided. They are the misguided people. And a Muslim should never be associated with that kind of shirk. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in his birth by the power of God, that God created him, that his birth was miraculous, that God created him. We believe in that. But we believe that that is not a bigger miracle than the miracle of Adam. For he created Jesus from a woman. And he created Adam from dust. So certainly we believe in that great miracle, but we believe the creation of Adam was even a bigger miracle. And we accept all of the prophets of God. This is binding on us as Muslims, that we do not discriminate against any of them, but accept all of them as equally legitimate. They all have equal legitimacy as prophets and messengers of God. However, God says, and he has raised some of them in ranks above others. So to think that Jesus is bigger than our prophet or greater than our prophet in stature or rank is ignorance in this religion. For our prophet is the leader of all the prophets, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And, if you understand it, according to the Quran, because he is the seal of the prophets and the last of the prophets and the one in whom God fulfilled his promise. He is the great liberator for all the people, a mercy to all the worlds. Peace and the blessings of Allah be upon him. And he is an example for all people. He is an example for the believers, but also for all people. Surely you will find in him, God says, the most excellent model to follow in the Prophet Muhammad. So if God has said to us, we will find in Muhammad the excellent model for us to follow. Then that should tell us that the others are not to be followed. Not as the...
In such a struggle trying to climb the ladder of success. Living in a world where every day my strength is put to the test. But I face that test with courage, and I just won't be discouraged. I'm determined, you see, to reach my
possibility.
Now I've run across so many things that could block me, but I made up my mind. Much more than I can see, and so much that I can become. That's why I'm reaching for the sun.
I see my possibility. Just woke up and found them here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me.
I'm looking further down the track. Get ahead, I want the back.
I see my
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammad ar-Rasulullah. Everybody, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. You're looking beautiful. Alhamdulillah. You look like you got somewhere to go, people to see, things to do. That's what you're looking
like.
A little bit.
I'm gonna get out of town for a little minute, recoup, so I can get back on this journey of building wealth and being a better Muslim and getting my spirit in alignment for Ramadan, which I'm so very excited about this year. So yeah, it's good. It's a good time.
I know when my AirPods ain't connecting the way I expect them to.
Yeah, because
you
have just a little echo.
Let's see. Let me kill this off. And so now I charge this thing all night. So I don't think this thing is overcharged. But you can hear me.
I can hear you great.
Okay.
And no echo. The echo stops.
All right, I'll get mine worked out before. See if we got AirPods turned. It's turned on. And I'm gonna get out of here. Let you go. And I'm gonna fix my stuff on the other end.
Okay.
Is that clear?
Absolutely.
Your picture's frozen. We're good. Okay. So I'm just going to have to step out. Sorry we won't have a chance to chat. Let's get back to it. Love you.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله السلام عليكم to our clear understanding family and welcome to this Wealth Creation Preservation Monday. I'm in good spirits today. I have my energy is all over the place, but not in a way of a means of confusion, right? But like excitement, you know how you get this level of excitement coming into this month because we know that Ramadan is right around the corner. There is this desperate need to plan before this month starts out for us on how we want to approach this beautiful gift that we have been given. Imam, I think you're unmuted, so I can kind of hear you kind of listening a little bit. And so when we have these moments, this opportunity to be blessed, inshallah, to experience Ramadan again, we think very clearly about how we want to approach this month. And we start to pay attention to the experiences leading up. I have had a history of, you know, this is my first year where I could say comfortably that coming into this month of Ramadan, I usually have like some really big obstacles. And those big obstacles are usually a sign for me to go, Ramadan is on the way. I've got to get myself ready for it, right? But alhamdulillah, and I'm not inviting any challenges my way, but alhamdulillah, this year, that hasn't been my experience. And I was like, oh, okay, because the tools over time that I have been paying very close attention to I'm going to keep reminding everyone to check out the Jumu'ah series that the Imam has done all through February, just this concept of Ummah and then our self-awareness. Like, we hear these trending words of self-awareness and, you know, I'm putting a big air quotes, the language of the secret, air quotes. Let me be clear. It's just people will associate what I'm saying to that, but to really understand it from our Islamic perspective, to really understand it from this way of life that we have chosen for ourselves and that Allah has blessed our hearts to accept, inshallah, and has blessed us to recognize it, see it, and be obedient listeners to the ask on our soul to say, this way of life, this is what, this way of that, this is what you need to do, right? So when we get the tools that confirm the choice, this way of life that we have chosen for ourselves, and I'm saying chosen, like as I'm processing this thought in real time, I'm saying chosen in a very light sense because there are moments in our life that Allah makes urgent certain choices. And I'm not talking about just to be Muslim, but it could be anything. There'll be a financial, let's take a light one. There'll be a financial experience and we immediately realize, okay, I need to understand my money. I need to make a financial plan. I need to plan ahead and save. I need to create a budget. We start to create habits and rituals to support something that has happened that says, okay, I never want to be in this scenario again, right? So this is the same thing with this beautiful way of life called Al-Islam, right? That we have experiences and, you know, until we say we practice being Muslim, you know, this practice is to put into working to activate and engage the rituals that Islam has given us in order for us to experience the fullness of this beautiful way of life, Al-Islam. And, you know, the more you start to be aware of your existence and the environment that you're in. You know, it's like in this moment that I'm having this conversation, I'm having this out-of-body observance, right? I'm like, are you observing what you're feeling as you're saying these words? Like, do you remember a time where you just weren't that sure about, like, is this thing really doing what it's saying it's supposed to do? You know, I remember that time. And I'm sharing that in a space of complete and total vulnerability, in a space of full and total transparency, and an authentic aha moment that being born and raised Muslim, it's like, okay, there is this part of us that it's like, okay, I do it because my parents did it. I do it because I'm in the environment of other people who do it. I say assalamu alaikum because I grew up that's what you do when you greet everyone else. But there wasn't this moment, let me see, what's coming to me in this real moment of my excitement about this is the spirit of al-Islam. I was doing the movements. I went to Claire Muhammad School. We learned Arabic. We learned how to pray. We fasted during Ramadan with my friends, and we came together and celebrated for the Eid and made prayer with the family. There was, I was doing the movement because that's what I did. That's what we were supposed to do. But there was a moment, a very specific and integral moment, that I understood the spirit of what this way of life is, that caused me to be aware that, that I wasn't ready to receive that breath, right? And I want us to take this moment. It's like we say, yeah, I believe in Allah. I believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I believe in the books. I believe in the angels. Like, we'll say these things, right? But in concrete terms, what was that experience that confirmed, I know, it's like unwavering, like there's nothing you can say to me that makes me think, maybe I want to, even if I'm in another room with other people. So like this week I'm going to a group of sisters and sister friends and my spiritual sisters and family and of many faith traditions and background that we come together, and it's been as a result of holding space with other individuals who believe in God that I'm able to really exercise this way of life. And it has been so beneficial for me because I have a safe space to where they hold me accountable to my Islam. They hold me, because these are women who are not Muslim, right? They hold me accountable in that, well, what does the Quran say about that? Or, this is how we do this. Or and it forced me to be like, okay, Camila, you say you're this, but what does that look like? And so I had to dive into being what I said I believed. And in this being what I said I believed, they also held space for me to understand like the wholeness of who I am, right? And we do that for each other. And so I get excited when I'm able to be recharged in a space like that. And I seek to continuously bring that energy back here with other Muslim women in this space, which is why I created Women of Worship, where it's a space where we can have these spiritual conversations as indigenous Muslim women, Bilali Muslim women, in spaces that we haven't had an opportunity to truly unfold what does that look like to be a Bilali woman in America being Muslim. How do we work through those tender points within our lives as wives, as mothers, as entrepreneurs, as friends? What does that really mean to show up in sisterhood? What does it really mean to live out your purpose? How do you see yourself reflected in the Quran? How do you relate to it? Because there's a natural, I have to say there's a natural inclination, just as people of African descent, we look for this feeling, right? And when I say we look for this feeling, I mean just look at what we do culturally, right? The way we design, the way we sing, the way we dance, the way we write, the way we talk and create our own languages. We look for this feeling, right? And Islam gives us the logic with the emotion to balance out this thing to where we don't go so far out to the left that we lose sight of the reality, right? Because you can get caught up. Feelings are not facts. I hear that and I understand it, right? But it points you in a direction that says, okay, so when you feel it, so when I get emotionally overwhelmed or emotionally full with joy, with happiness, with gratitude, with peace, with calm. Like I could not be doing anything at all and I'll go, wow, this, I'm feeling really good right now. And the Islam makes me like, Allah, that's from Allah. You're not doing this. This is all Allah. All of it. You feel good in this moment. This is a good moment. You're feeling a sense of joy. Get concrete and back in your mind like, okay, well, if I'm feeling like this, I wonder how can I maintain this if I prayed more, if I gave more in charity, if I, you know, maybe did some extra days of fasting, if I tried to expand my chest to be more patient with those that require my patience, like what does that look like, right? And this is a part of us being that much more aware of that Allah exists, right? There's no, it's like Allah doesn't have to prove anything. So if you're hearing me right now, that's proof that God exists. Like, God don't have to prove nothing to me. I'm here. Like, that's enough. If you don't leave with nothing else, you're here because of God. Like it didn't just, you know, this is all intentional, every single piece of it. And these are those moments that we start to value the time and how we show up in this human experience, right? So this weekend, because I'm bringing these things up to get us to really drill down on what is happening. It's all for our highest good. It's all for, it's all good, right? It's good. There's no competition between good and evil. I don't believe that there's a competition. Good always wins. Say what you want to say. If you got something different about it, you know, send me an email. But Allah always wins. There's no space in there where it's just like, well, you know, it looks like Allah lost this one. In whose book? Allah always wins. Because you think that it's supposed to go a particular way, you think that Allah is not winning, Allah wins every time, right? And so this weekend we had a community event. We had our beautiful crab feed, which we hadn't had in a while since COVID, and now we're coming back. We're starting to ease back into the culture of community life, face-to-face, like not virtually. And it was overwhelmingly beautiful, right? And to be able to be present, like for me, I always have to check myself in big crowds because sometimes I can get in the space, have a conversation, and I'm standing there and I'm hearing them talking, but I'm somewhere else, right? And I'm learning and I have been practicing what does that mean for me to be present in the conversation, to be honest in exchange, to listen to the person that is talking to me. And that's what the experience was this weekend. And in doing that, it allowed me to receive what was happening around me. It allowed me to observe the laughter of the children. It allowed me to see families coming together, people who may not have seen each other in a while, enjoying themselves. It allowed me to see them receiving their gifts and, you know, other and women helping each other out in the kitchen and then the brothers coming and cleaning up. Like I was observing all of these different components. And this morning after I was having this conversation
about, you know, just kind of giving myself a moment to think about today, is like, you know, the real need is that Allah does not need us to help Allah. Allah doesn't need our help. We need the help of the people who submit their will to Allah, right? We need that help. Like, Allah doesn't need our help. It's like, look, I gave you all the resources. I put them in you, and I put them in the people around you. So it is up to us to mirror the people that we want to see. You want to be around more charitable and generous people? Be a charitable and generous person. You want to be a millionaire and generate more wealth so that you can get more to give more to the community? You need to be around more generous and wealthy individuals. The conversation is going to move and be very different when you surround yourself with that. So this is what the part of the creating this Ummah, when I observe how people are moving, it reminds me of how it is that I should move. It reminds me of how I should interact with the community. If I want to surround myself with more calm, more peace, more safety, more love, you know, or more joy, then I need to be in spaces that nurture that kind of energy. And in it being nurtured, I am nurtured at the same time. We create an ecosystem of Al-Islam that we are feeding each other at the same time, right, as we're sharing this space. So to want to be around other people who are surrendering their will to Allah, like I want to be around people who surrender their will to God, that's the kind of conversations I want to have, because then I can trust this vessel that is bringing me information that will make me a better human being, and they can trust that I am giving them information that's going to help them to be a better human being, right? So I want to honor that every time that they come into the space. So let's think about how we do that. Let's think about the kind of community or environment that we keep around us and keep near us. And is that a reflection of the life that you want to live and expand and continue to attract? Is it? If it is not, then the real work starts within yourself. If you don't know how to have conversations of gratitude or conversations of healing or conversations of Quran and reflecting on the beauty of this life that we live, then you have to expand your capacity to be able to hold conversations to attract those individuals with you, because they will show you something different that you cannot see on your own on this journey, right? To be more aware of how you respond emotionally to certain circumstances, to certain experiences. This last thing before I go. Of course, you know, Allah has blessed me with this gift of my mom, right, in this season of my life. Like, it has every day I wake up and I go, wow, this is, people don't have a gift like this in how she and I communicate with each other on a very intimate level. And so after we had our call this morning, I had to sit with myself and I was like, I needed to reverse engineer what led me to this point, like this moment. And I shared about what was the thing about me seeking happiness was how I had behaved with her. And I was like, okay, I need to be happy. She just happened to be the vessel that received the stray bullet of my toxicity at the time. So, oh, I still ask Allah forgiveness for that. But what led me to this space of seeking to create this intimate and open level of communication and building this relationship and being present in collecting memories and conversations and things like that with my mom is me being a mother. And anyone who knows my mom, she is the unicorn of moms. Like, she just is. Like, I don't know anyone that moves like this woman. Like, I just don't. I don't. And the way that she moves, and I think about the love that makes me like, okay, I will be uncomfortable to ensure that she gets what she needs. Like, it makes me work harder. And so in reverse engineering, like, come on, where did that that come from? That hasn't always been your state of mind or your state of being. What is that? And I said, it's because I'm a mother. And when I think about how I am with my mother, it's like, am I showing up like the child I would want? Like, as a mother, would I want my child to behave this way? So be that child, right? And no, I don't have this conversation with my son. Like, son, well, I do this for my mom. Why don't you do this? Not at all. It's not even a part of the conversation. What's a part of the conversation is me being, and Allah knows. Allah sees all things. Allah is the best accountant. So I said, I'll be the best child I can be for my mother, because I would want my children to be that way with me. And I start to see how energetically that attracts that same energy to me and in my life, because my goal is around, okay, look, I want to be the best child to this woman that gives so much. And as a result of doing so, my children will show up in the same way, in the same way how I treat my nieces and nephews. It's like, what kind of auntie would I want to be? Be that auntie for your nieces and nephews, right? So when you think about the community that you would want, be the community member of the kind of community you want. Don't say, well, the community should do more of this. We're not concerned with that. You be the best community member that you can be, because Allah is paying attention to you, and Allah will bring you the things that will help to nurture and expand the character, the behavior that you're exuding, and you'll find your community as a result of committing to being what it is that you want to say, be the change you want to see, right? Well, you got to do that, but you have to take accountability for those areas that you know that you're flawed. Like, okay, well, I'm not a person that's always on time. I'm not a person that likes to do a lot of labor. I'm not a person that likes to pay for the labor. So then that means I got to get my wealth up in order to be able to pay for the help to do it. I'm not always there to have the time to just, so how do I be that community member and giver for the community? So as we enter to getting ready for Ramadan, think about that and let's practice how we can expand that as a part of us attracting a better, bigger, greater, and more blessed Ummah this month and in the years to come, inshallah. And with that, I will call the Imam back into the room.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Alhamdulillah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Shukran, alhamdulillah. And I'm feeling the blessing of that, those morning convos here at the address. But what I want you to do, that is actually a kind of quasi coaching kind of thing. I mean, I don't want to mislabel it. So
sure,
that's what it is, and you're gonna have to give me the information for a banner so we can throw it up when you're
absolutely
speaking.
Absolutely, I'll send it to you in the chat. So it's two things. So accountability clip is as a life coach, I have a month. Every Monday in the morning where we come in and we check in and really kind of hone into this level of self-awareness, as well as being clear about goals, whether they're goals physically, mentally, or spiritually, or even financially. But we hold space for the women to, okay, what is this self-discovery journey in order for you to find self-love, self-care, and happiness? Because when you take care of yourself, everyone around you benefits from all of the things that you do for yourself. So Accountability Click is open to all women of all faiths, right? Now, I have one of our attendees is in there. It's Harlina Amir, who just left a comment, joins us in the Monday morning. The other thing is every second Sunday evening, I have the Women of Worship, which is a space for just indigenous Muslim women, for us to have conversations about the ideal of being erased from the Islamic narrative of our experience here in America. Because when you speak of Muslim women, it's very rarely that we see ourselves utilizing those conversations, and then, or how it is that we show up in worship, or how being first generation or even second generation Muslims here in America, that we have a different level of conversation of us really finding that breath that says, okay, how does all of these rituals add up to me really saying Islam is truly my way of life? And so a lot of times we shy away or get afraid of, you know, well, is Islam, because they're not, like I said, the feeling of it, the spirit of this way of life that we are seeking has not quite hit us to our core. And it's like, no, it doesn't mean that you don't believe. It's like you have to surrender to what it is that you have to understand. So we have conversations like that. And that happens every second. We have one coming up this Sunday, so it happens every second Sunday, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And yeah, and that's me.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Well, we look forward to the continued success. Alhamdulillah. So let me move on down the road here. Love you.
Love you too, Baba.
All right, alhamdulillah, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammad rasulullah. Dear brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Now, what we're doing today is continuing on the subject before, but let me make the announcement for what's coming up in a couple of weeks, a little less than a couple of weeks. Myself and Dr. Abdul J. Nuruddin of Greensboro, North Carolina, we'll be doing an empowerment webinar, an empowerment weekend. That's going to be March 18th and 19th. That's going to be, what's that, a Saturday and a Sunday? 18th and 19th. So you can go to empowermentwebinar.eventbrite.com to register to be a part of that. And I look forward to it because I feel even more obligated and free and accountable to stick with the language and accountable to take it higher, to take it higher. I mean, I'm always trying to level up, always in our conversations here, because we have a long way to go, and I can't say a short time to get there, but the only time we have is the time that we have, and we don't know how much that is. But this knowledge, alhamdulillah, this reality that we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I say we, that's all of us. I'm not pointing the finger to myself. Allah has blessed me, no doubt. And I thank Allah for it, and I'm humbled by it, and I'm grateful. But we all have been given much more than any one of us has. And so you've got to get more of it in the best possible way, in the most balanced way, in the most efficient way. And I'm going to stop editorializing and going with what I intend to bring today. So go and register, empowermentwebinar.eventbrite.com, so you can be with us on that weekend, March 18th and 19th, the Empowerment Weekend. You can break it into two pieces. You know, one is metaphysical, which would be more on my side, and his is physical. That's just a heuristic, a rule of thumb, an abstraction of it. So come and find out what it actually is and figure out what you would call it, inshallah. Let's go into what we're continuing. What we're continuing right now during this period, you know, you all know me and series. You know, I love series. Not series. Just because, you know, it's like, hey, you just can't put everything in just one package, one day, one week, one hour, one presentation. And as much as we can give, that's our motivation. So for right now, that unanswered question is the big question behind it all, and that is spiritual physics. Spiritual physics. Hold on to it. And it's like you can practically say you heard it here first in a manner of speaking. But it is abstracted from a statement by one of the social scientists, medical scientists, et cetera. It says spirituality is the physics that we have not yet understood. Spirituality is the physics that we have not yet understood. Now, I had to put the cough drop in because I can get going and put stress on me. So if it is true, and I take it as true,
that spirituality is the physics that we have not yet understood. Well, then, this is part two of continuing into the introduction of spiritual physics, and we're focused on imagination. So we're going to take off Imam Muhammad's comment drawn from November 2nd, 1990. Imam Muhammad spoke about the importance of cultivating a positive imagination. He said, we must guard our thoughts and imagination from negativity, fear, and despair. I try to mention things as you're going, but think about the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system, which is are both a part of the autonomic nervous system. Just look it up. Because whatever state of mind you're in impacts your physiology and therefore the quality of your life. And negativity, fear, and despair harms you overall. It harms you. That's the bottom line. But the man is saying, he said, it's not just your body per se that you are seeking, that you need to be protected from negativity, fear, and despair. The negativity, fear, and despair is deleterious to your physiological health. Here he's saying that negativity, fear, and despair, we have to guard our thoughts and imagination from negativity, fear, and despair. You know that we are a dual being in this sense. We are physical and we are psychic. Not psychic like, you know, reading tea leaves or seeing what's behind the wall, but we are an abstract body. We are a non-physical, a metaphysical body. So just as negativity, fear, and despair harms the physical body, negativity, fear, and despair harms the psychic body. And the thoughts and imagination, the role that they play is diminished or hurt by negativity, fear, and despair. So really, you really, really have to be mindful. I mean, if you have garden, if you have a yard, then you're watching out for the weeds. If you have a crop, you're looking out for the plant aphids. You're looking out for whatever harms your crop, right? Okay, well, your psychic body, and brother and sister, all we're talking about is taqwa. That's what taqwa does. Taqwa protects from negativity, from fear, from despair. Taqwa protects. It's an inward guarding consciousness. Consciousness that guards the psychic, which is your reality, the psychic body from the harms that come from just these three as an example, because we know there are other harmful ways of thinking and being. So the protection of our psychic body. But since we're talking about imagination, we're going to just appreciate how important it is that your imagination not be undermined by negativity, not be undermined by fear, not be undermined by despair. Continue the Imam's quote. He said, we must cultivate a positive and hopeful imagination. Just think about it. You've heard it before. If you haven't said it, or if it has never been said or has been said about you, that you have to have a healthy imagination, or she has a healthy imagination, or he has a healthy imagination. You talk about a child. They have a healthy imagination, right? Healthy imagination is the source of all the things that we enjoy in our experience. Healthy imagination. I mean, just the iPhones and whatever, whichever one you like. You like Galaxy? Good. Wonderful. I see you. We don't have to start set tripping on our phone. But the idea is just that swipe, the iPhone, it was a new thing. It was a time when that whole swipe thing, that was It was just, it wasn't a thing. But now you got you just swipe. And for our children, I mean, we got babies that can't even speak. I mean, literally by age. I mean, they're months old, infants. They're just swiping away, just swiping away. So in their world, that's a reality, right? But let's turn the clock back. Somebody had to imagine that. Somebody had to imagine that before it even existed. Imagine it. And now, of course, yeah, with Apple, you know, Steve Jobs, et cetera. And let's give Steve Wozniak, let's give him his respect, you know, in all this. It's like they had this, you know, the big campaign, you know, Imagine, right? The whole Imagine campaign. So they had all these characters, all these people, you know, the Beatles and Einstein and Madame Curie, whoever, Muhammad Ali, different folks, you know, Imagine, right? It's all about imagination. And we're benefiting from the outworkings of individuals' imagination. We wouldn't have an iPhone if somebody, if someone's thoughts and imagination was plagued by negativity, fear, and despair. And that goes for the automobile, that goes for the airplane, that goes for every little thing that we're looking at, no matter how inconsequential it may seem. Somebody imagined it first, and they protected their thoughts and imagination from negativity, fear, and despair, and we are in possession of and benefiting from their success in protecting their own thoughts and imagination from negativity, fear, and despair. And that's what you and I have to do. What is it that you're trying to do? What is it that you're trying to accomplish? Does negativity, fear, and despair creep in like those weeds that growing out in the yard and in the garden? And if you don't tend to them, man, as the weeds grew up like tree trunks. I started to put an invective on that, but it's like, if you ever really, you try to get that weed up, you know, by hand, man, that weed is it. I'm dug in, man. I'm dug in. So what I'm saying is negativity, fear, and despair can get that profound and become that deeply ingrained in us if we don't catch it before it grows. Finish the Imam's quote. We must cultivate a positive and hopeful imagination, one that is grounded in faith and optimism, one that is grounded in faith and optimism and that allows us to envision a better future for ourselves and our community. You know, I remember the campaign from the Imam, Rahim al-Aulay, where he talked about New Africa. Can you see it? New Africa, can you see it? In the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, we had that brother, Brother Majid was his name. He was the artist, powerful images. I mean, those images, I got images that stay in my mind and others as well. About, you said, get on to your own. That was the language. This is before I accepted the Nation of Islam at that time. Get on to your own. You have people inside the Star and Crescent smiling. They're just so happy. And then you saw people running from the outside of the Star and Crescent, running to the Star and Crescent so they could be like those smiling faces in it. Masterful. Masterful. Alhamdulillah. So that's faith and optimism, right? That allowed us to envision a better future for ourselves and our community. That does not stop, brother and sister. That does not stop. And you have to watch out for, and you have to look out for, and you have to look for the weeds of sentiment and ill will and make sure you're not carrying it, as Aja would say. Don't be pointing fingers. This is one thing from the first resurrection, as we call the original nation of Islam. You point it. Don't point the finger, because at the same time you point the finger, there's three pointing back at you, and this one's about to point to you. I guess that has something to do with triggering, baby. Anyway. Okay, so the point is, check your negativity and check the negativity of others and don't add to it. There's a beautiful story, I won't say it, of Omar, radiallahu anhu. Beautiful story of Omar, how he was checking somebody, but he had, in his checking someone, he made five or six errors of his own, and he's trying to check this person for one thing that he felt like he was doing. So the point is that make sure that your cure is not worse than the disease, okay? But let's move away from that. So the idea is faith and optimism, and that allows us to envision a better future for ourselves and our community. All right, now we're going. I want everybody to be very, very clear always, and I have to do that. This is one of the last lessons. Some of you got the early release that I gave. It's the Confessions of a Grateful Student. That was a label for my master regarding the language of Imam Wahdatul Muhammad, the final lesson in language and logic. That was the rest of it. Originally, I said Confessions of a Grateful Student, the final lesson in language and logic from Imam W.D. Muhammad. I'll say this, since we're personal here, and as Hajjah was pointing out, you know, hey, let's be transparent, and this is what it is. So it's vulnerability. So I am saying this somewhat out of vulnerability. And I really felt like when I understood particular lesson, and those of you who got it, because I was giving it out free. It was like a book that I was giving out free. And on my old website, you could go up and you could bring it down. But mashallah, it's not doing it now. Doing it now. But the point was that some of the ways that I had used language, thinking that I was doing it correctly, in my motivation and my intention, that there was some language that I would use and put out, and the way, and it's really what I'm going to tell you what the lesson was. The lesson was changing the order, right? See, when you introduce a thing, then everybody calibrates whatever comes after that on the basis of what you led with, right? It's like you want a choir, or you want somebody to play the instrument, me, 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 me. Okay, well, then you said that's the key that you play in the tune in, right? So if you lead with the wrong key, you can be singing the same song, but you're singing it in the wrong key. And that was the case. And I explained in that writing. I'll give you a little more right here. And this is and all this is to say, well, why do I feel responsible to lead with a statement from the imam that already affirms what I'm going to say behind, for that very reason. Because I want you to understand it and appreciate. I want you to understand and appreciate it. He said, well, why don't you leave with the Quran? Why don't you leave? Alhamdulillah. If I was at Jummah, if I was in another more formal, quote-unquote, Islamic setting that was particular for the religion and the ritual life and the worship and the ibadah, yeah, I would leave with the Quran. But this is not what we're doing here. But let me just tail back for this, that so when I would lead with the other information, it's like inductive and deductive, right? It's like I get the facts, get the data, get the information, and then deliver the information. But when I lead with information that is not from either of those sources, the Quran, like Maula Prophet Muhammad or Imam Muhammad, my motivation was this is what they say, do. And then what I follow up with, and you can look at all of my material, with this background that I'm giving you right now, you can look at it and say, oh, okay, yeah, he lives with that. And then it's sort of like, for me, it was an unveiling. But let me tell you, while he said and Dr. So-and-so said and scientist XYZ said, let me tell you, now that we're far along in the message, whatever I might be delivering at that time, and I've given what Dr. Joe and so-and-so has said, and I haven't said yet what Imam Muhammad said or what the Quran said or what the prophet said, because that's the big reveal. The big reveal is, let me tell you what they say. The idea is that most times we don't know what they are saying, and sometimes we're too parochial, too closed in, too insular in the way that we deal with our knowledge, and sometimes we fail to respect the fact that this is not new knowledge, which is critical for the Imam, and he warns us. This is not new or private knowledge per se. This is the knowledge that him and them actually want to have, but we already have it in the Quran, and if we would learn how to read it, we got it. Okay, that was the Imam, and that was the whole thing. But for my presentations at the time that this criticism came to me from the Imam, it was played in that key, right? So, you're singing the right song, but you're not playing it in the right key. So what I do, the final lesson in language and logic was, okay, now you got to turn it around. So turn, and this has been since before 2008. Let's be clear. This is before, this is not something I just found out today. No, this was before Imam Muhammad passed away. And so I reversed it. So now I lead with what the Imam has to say, and then I bring you the science after that, right? So then in that way, it doesn't appear as though, and whether it was my intention or not, the fact of the way the human psyche works is that you wind up bringing the Imam to be a witness for their stuff, and it shouldn't be that way. That's what it, when you present and lead with their stuff, then it looks like, okay, we said this, and even Wallace D. Muhammad says that. See, it can be taken like that. Is it? Nah. Okay, let's fix this, right? And so that, and Allahu Alam, you have to be your own judge in terms of that. But for me, that was the last lesson that I needed from Imam Muhammad. This is me talking. There's no boast, but I'm just saying. It's like what I was supposed to get and bring from the Imam to do in support of this language, logic, and legacy, that was the last lesson that I needed. Hello, Adam. Somebody's going to say, well, you need another lesson. Well, this life belongs to me. Let's move on. All right. So, imagination. So I've said this from the Imam, so now continue to be comfortable with what we are going to say. Now further from other sources, all right? Now, aspiration and inspiration are both spiritual. Aspiration, because you can see spira in both of them, right? So you have this spira, all right? Or even just spear, S-P-I-R, and S-P-I-R, isn't it interesting? And spear goes through the air, doesn't it? All right, aspiration and inspiration. Aspiration, when you talk about a goal that you want to achieve, something that you want to accomplish, right? Inspiration is something that comes to you by way of intuition or by way of some kind of vision of sorts, and you feel inspired, okay? So you have the aspiration and inspiration. Both of these are spiritual. So aspirations are spiritual, goals that you hope to accomplish, inspiration, visions that you have about doing something that are gripping for you, you know, inspiration. These are both spiritual. They're spiritual, right? And so therefore spirituality, so aspirations have to do with spirituality. Inspiration has to do with spirituality. And spirituality is the physics we have not yet understood, right? So then this is to say that we need to understand spiritual physics, okay? Just like there is physics in the world and these iPhones and computers and AI and all these other things that are going on in the world, they are grounded very much in physics. You know, Newtonian physics, quantum physics, etc. Spiritual physics is just as real, but see, the weight and the value of it has not been acknowledged by those who hold the throne of authority, quote-unquote. They're named as and known as, quote-unquote, material scientists. They are on top of the hill in terms of credence, but that's because of the hegemony, the leverage, and the monopoly on minds and education and other aspects that make their word and what they affirm powerful. Because what I'm saying, it is, look. Like we have in baseball, we have what you call the World Series, right? The World Series, right? So it's like, they won the World Series. That's like, wait a minute. You mean the American baseball team, they constitute the world. And whoever wins that, they won the World Series, right? So you have... is that Miss Universe? Yeah, Miss Universe. Okay, so you see her is like a Mr. Universe, right? It's like they are the best in the universe, right? That's just something that somebody says and somebody agrees, and then they have all the parades and fanfare, et cetera, and propaganda, if you will, to blow it up, and therefore it is. Okay, I'm saying it's the same thing about quantum physics, Newtonian physics, and all that are dismissive of metaphysics, right? Dismiss, which is another way of saying spirituality. Spirituality is, there is a physics. Now, when we use that language, physics, then we want you to understand there's a lawful quality to it. That's the biggest point that I want you to take away from that. Spiritual physics, meaning that there's the laws that are spiritual laws. Just like there are material laws, there are spiritual laws. Just like there's material physics, there is spiritual physics, right? It says that physics tells us about the operations of creation, about the laws and the operation of creation, but nothing about its nature. Let's move on. So the spiritual physics will enable us to make better use of and have a better understanding of our aspirations and our inspirations. That is, what is the law bearing on aspirations? What are the spiritual physics connected there? What are the laws, spiritual laws, metaphysical laws, that are bearing on inspiration? Okay? These things have a lawful quality to them, but they are spiritual physics, not material physics. But the material physics is a reflection, and we're going to keep going on that. The material physics is a reflection of the spiritual physics, because what Allah has given us by revelation of the Quran is the statement that the material world is mirroring the reality. It's a mirror of the reality. We call them ayahs, right? Ayahs. We call them signs. They are signs. They are indicators. They are metaphors. They are analogies. They are parables. God tells us always that, you know, the parable, like the corn and the seed and the rivers and the garden, they're a parable, similitude, methyla, you know? Okay. So all that is to say, you have the material, you have material physics and the spiritual physics, but you can get to the understanding of, in fact, that's the way you get the understanding of the spiritual physics, through understanding the physics of materiality. When you understand the physics of materiality, then you understand that all that is, you just got to turn it over. You just turn it over and say, oh, that's what's going on the other side. Okay, let's move on. So we're talking about imagination. That's a subtopic of this introduction. We're not trying to solve the whole thing. We're not considering whenever we stop talking, we're just, okay, now you got that, right? No. But all of this is an introduction. That's all. So all it would be is an introduction, because it's an entire field of study that the world has to, and the elite minds of this world have to come to an agreement to really give it more attention and credence and value, et cetera. So that time is time that's beginning right now. But we're talking about imagination, just one quality, one characteristic that has bearing on spiritual physics, imagination. All right, so imagination, the outcome of the process of imagining. Last week we do that, we're going to take this a step further on the next slide. Imagining, right? So imagination is the outcome of the process of imagining. And what is that? It is the virtualization. They have what VR now, right? VR. VR is virtual reality, right? So virtual reality. If you want to buy a property, then you can go put on these VR whatever and walk around the house. virtual reality. So it is the virtualization, so the outcome of making something virtual, right? It's like it's virtually free, right? So it's like, no, it's not quite free, but it's virtually free, right? So, and you just go ahead and work with the word, you know, just virtue. Somebody talks about virtue, right? It has certain virtues, right? It has what is meritorious about whatever it is you're talking about virtually, right? It is like that thing, right? Is literally what it means. The virtualization of your experience. This is what's happening. Follow the sentence. It's the virtualization of your experience of the end goal achieved, right? It's like, this is not the best example, but it's more visceral, right? Let's just say if somebody, well, yeah, somebody does do it, so yeah, we put it over there. I was thinking about a Muslim. I'll tell you what it is. Winning that $100 million lotto or whatever that is, but imagine the one who did. How do you think they felt when they heard the numbers, read the numbers, saw that they had in their hand that ticket? What kind of feelings do you think they had, right? Virtualize that. That's what we're saying. We're saying with regard to your imagination about something that you want to bring into existence, then a part of that process is the virtualization of your experience of that goal achieved, right? What does it feel like? What would it feel like, right? And that's what it means. This virtualization, it means feeling all the feelings that are evoked by the achievement of that goal in advance. That is, no, it actually hasn't happened, but you want to experience as a virtual happening, and in that virtual happening, you want to create in yourself the mood, the state, the sense of feeling and being in the moment that it has already happened. Okay? That's what we have to learn to do with regard to our imagination, with regard to whatever we want to bring about as a creation, small c. Here's a little further clarification, amplification of that. Imagination. The outcome of the process of imagining. So now, here comes something. The realization. So there's there are two words. Your ization is like your optimization, whatever, colonization. So ization is like they kind of like they all go together. Then you have real, and that al is a suffix. The re is the prefix. You may have heard this word, reification, reification. The R-E is the root word, right, from which we get real. But the A-L is or related to R-E. And this R-E is essentially it stands for actual, even though the A-L is still there. Actualization, realization, reification. There's an idea, and then when something gets reified, when that idea gets reified, then it becomes three-dimensionally actual because it got reified, right? America is the reification of the ideas of the original founders of this nation. Their ideas, in principle, institutionally speaking, we know there's a lot of work to be done. The essence of it is real. The essence of it is real. Still evolving, but it has been reified. We have a constitution. We have a Senate. We have a House of a Congress, whatever, House of Representatives. We have a Supreme Court. We have a legislative, executive, and judicial branch. We have that. That's the reification of the imagination of the founding fathers, as it said. That's it. You know that. So we are living inside of someone's realization of their imagination. And anything that we hope to one day have and hold concretely, we have to get our imagination to work and in the way that I'm mentioning here so you can move it on towards realization. So imagination is the outcome of the process of imagining. What is the process of imagining? It is the realization of your subjective experience. Listen, the realization. It's like, you know, one day I realized, okay, great. That means you realize something. So that means inside your head, in your heart, in your consciousness, that thing became real. It might not be real outside. Nobody else may have the same understanding or same perception about whatever it is that you realized, but you realized it. In your own subjective means inside you, in your own subjective experience, right? So the real, look, Muslim, we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah. It's a realization. We realize in our own subjectivity that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Do we care? Yes, we care somewhat, but not in any exaggerated way that atheists and materialists and nihilists and postmodernists and whoever else say, oh, God delusion, there is no God. That's your world. In my world, I have realized in my own subjective experience that there is no God but Allah. Muhammad is messenger of Allah. Okay, well, that's what you have to do for whatever else it is that you're trying to objectify, actualize, bring into existence. Some people like the word manifest. Well, it starts with imagination. And the outcome of that imagining is that first you have to realize in your own subjective experience what you are imagining. You have to feel it. You have to, and you, don't worry about me. Don't worry about, you have to feel. I got it. I got that feeling. Yes, that's my boy, JB. I got that feeling. Baby, I got that feeling. Yeah, I got to take a minute to do that. This kind of slows me down a little bit. Yeah, you have to get that feeling of experience that it has already happened. You want a Rolls Royce? You got to get that feeling. You got to get that feeling. You got to smell that leather. You got to feel that seat on your back. You got to see that cockpit. You got to feel that armrest. That smell. I'm not going to go any further with that. But the idea is that's what you have to bring that into your own subjective experience. It has to be real for you inside of you. This is spiritual physics. Because the creation said, man, I'm personifying, obviously, right? Creation said, man, Rolls Royce ain't no big deal. Creation said, Rolls Royce ain't no big deal. And it's not. Not to the universe, not to the creation. It's no big deal. We're talking galaxies here. We're talking about powers beyond powers that we can even imagine. So what? Rolls Royce is no big deal. A home, mansion, whatever. It's no big deal. The big deal is getting yourself inside to a state of imagining and a state of subjective realization in your experience of what it is that you're imagining. Because the universe said, okay, let's go, let's build it. The universe, let's build it. Really? The power that has to come, let's get to see if we can get to the bottom of the things here. The power that has to come, it means being able to generate within yourself those feelings that are evoked by the achievement. And just a little brief moment that I took with you in terms of the Rolls Royce, I was feeling that Rolls Royce, man. And I've never sat, I have sat. I have sat in a Rolls Royce, that's right. I have, I remember now. The idea is that, man, it's like, I had stopped talking to you because it's like, that thing was, and that's not one of my goals. It's not one of my goals right now. But the idea is that, man, just thinking about, talking about, describing it, it's like, you can feel it in those kinds. And we have so much imagery in movies and TV and computers that, they just, you watch these real estate shows where it says, okay, the house looks like this. Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to change the bathroom this way. We're going to change the kitchen this way. We're going to open up the layout. It's going to be this. We're going to add a porch. We're going to add a deck. We're going to add a second floor. And you see in the images, all the stuff comes up. That's your mind. Your mind has that very power. And it was a mind that created the app that enabled people to do that. So that's how it is. You can create your whole world, a whole new world created right inside of yourself. And that's what you have to do first before you'll ever live in it outside. That's spiritual physics. It's just like, there's nothing to back up off of, there's nothing to be afraid of, whatever. It's just a matter of your deciding. What is it that's important enough and significant enough to you for you to give yourself over to that kind of effort? What is it? and it relates to everything, your children, your husband, your wife, your relatives, your brother and sister Muslim in the community. All you have to do is reimagine, because there's some things you're imagining right now already. I'm sorry. I got to tell you what I'm laughing about. So I imagine myself slapping that bee. Imagine myself punching that. I'm talking about Muslims. So get rid of that imagination. Okay, let that go. Let it go. Because Quran already tells you that that ain't the way. And like Camila Haji was saying, it's like good always wins. Good and evil are not equal. So that's the evil imagining. Let it go. Let it go. It's not doing you any good. That's a part of that negative fear, despair, et cetera, that's plaguing your thoughts and your imagination. And it's constructing, while you're holding on to that way of thinking, it is constructing that world. And you will continue to have that kind of relationship with person X, Y, or Z as long as you maintain that in your imagining, because you are realizing it. And that's what happens with your mind if you don't take control of it. If you don't take control of it, it's going to keep creating stuff. You say, where the hell did that come from? You? Oh, no. Listen. Quran said, let him who finds good praise Allah. Let him who finds other that blame no one but himself. And then the other point, Allah says in the Quran that it's like, don't blame him, blame yourself, right? So in any case, so the point is, be mindful of your imaginings, okay? Because they are constantly creating. They are constantly. And the more you nurture them, meaning you wake up thinking about that, you go to sleep thinking about that, you move in the day thinking about that, what are you doing? It's a construction project, ongoing, all right? So let it go. All right, let's finish up here. The feelings that are evoked by the achievement of what you're imagining in advance. That's the goal. This is what I'm saying. The goal is you are constructing inside of your own subjectivity. You are constructing inside of yourself the world, the thing, the achievement, whatever. You are creating this virtual reality inside yourself of a very clear, so clear that you are experiencing the feeling. You are experiencing the emotions of having achieved that thing in advance. You're experiencing it in advance because you're already imagining and feeling what it's going to feel like when it does happen. But inside, your goal is to create in yourself the state of actualization where you feel inside yourself that already happened. That already happened. That's when you've got it right, when you have that experience inside yourself that has already happened. And you're feeling like you would feel when that thing has already happened. That's your effort, right? That means putting the experience of your goal in the past tense. You want to have it inside the experience in the past tense. Now, I put Salah there to remind me that I want to make sure to make this point. Salah. Brother and sister, when we make Salah, it is a disciplining. It is an exercising of our inner resources. It is an internal exercise. It is. It's an internal exercise. Just like working out in the gym from the physical perspective, Salah is working out in the spiritual gym. It is psychic reps. You understand? That's what that is. And there are disciplines that we exercise and are and should be exercising when we make salah, which strengthen the muscle to be able to do the kind of thing that I'm talking about right now. It's a psychic muscle. It's a spiritual muscle. It's a mental muscle. It's a muscle of consciousness to be able to bring that psychic muscle and that psychic body exercise in the metaphysical reality to move and manifest and impact and affect that reality so that it can become a reality in our lives. That's force that you will develop with the skill set, let's call it, with the success that comes through Salah. You know, Salah, it cultivates that muscle. So in Salah, what are you always doing? You're always seeking to avoid, don't let this thought come in, I'm making Salah. Don't let that thought come in, I'm making Salah. Don't think about this, I'm making Salah. Don't think about that, I'm making Salah. Let me keep my concentration. Let me keep my focus on what I'm doing in this prayer. The prayer is a mental practice, a spiritual practice, which when and if we master the mindset consequence of this proper practice, then that same power of concentration can and will be brought to bear on the projects when we get off the prayer rug. When we get off the prayer rug, I'm taking the power of my psyche, I'm taking the power of my consciousness, I'm taking the power of my mind, I'm taking the power of self-control, I'm taking the power of impulse control, to be able to monitor those things that undermine my creative work of imagination to realize and put what I hope to achieve into a subjective past tense experience. And whenever a negative thought of doubt, fear, despair, anxiety, it's like when I'm on the prayer rug, I say, no. Come in here. You can't come in here. I'm not accepting no doubt about this. I'm not accepting any fear. I'm not accepting any anxiety. I'm not accepting any despair about this thing that I'm imagining and intending to succeed at. So the same effort and same energy can now be applied not just in Salah to get the prayer straight, but it can be applied in at dunya, huh? In our aspirations for that. And that's what the muscle is for. I mean, really, ask yourself, what is prayer for after all is said and done? What? What? Just to ask God, forgive me? This whole prayer that we do as Muslims, all is for God, forgive me. God, have mercy on me. Or to just ask God, God, give me this. No. I'm gonna go ahead and turn this other plate. We're not gonna go into it. But you should take a screenshot or whatever. Take a look at that. Let me see. What can I cover in that? Spiritual physics is this is the introduction. So we've said what we said thus far, right? Here's a hypothesis. So why you use language hypothesis? I use that because it has a right to be respected scientifically. It has a right to be respected scientifically. This other piece here, we won't have a chance to get into it, but if you get back to it and take a screenshot of that and look at it, we'll, at some point in time, inshallah, we're going to get into the conversation about non-overlapping magisterium. Okay. But here's the hypothesis. And I think I'm just going to read it straight through without the interspersed material. Inshallah. We'll see. Here's the question. Hypothesis asks, that's all the hypothesis is. It just asks, what if? Right? Okay, so here. What if the spiritual force of an aspiration is, meaning the force of it, power of it, right? What if the spiritual force of an aspiration is the degree to which we have no doubt about its realization? We got a lot of doubt. Then the doubt goes down and down and down and down. Less doubt, less doubt, less doubt, less doubt, less doubt. And the more you get rid of the doubt, the more the force of what you aspire to is at work in the nature of creation. This would mean that metaphysically speaking, there is an inverse relationship, meaning it's a counterintuitive. We didn't think things were, just like they had this idea about waves, the particle theory physics, quantum physics, where he talks about wave function collapse, cohesion. I'm telling you, it's like we can talk about these things because quantum physics acts in ways that this thing is a particle and a wave at the same time. All right. That's counterintuitive. That's not the way we experience things in the quote-unquote physical world. A thing is a thing. It is what it is, and it's not something else. But in quantum physics, the thing is a wave, and it's at the same time a particle. Let's move past that. So the point, that tells you also that when you start getting closer to the nature of reality, the more counterintuitive it actually is, right? So what if that's the case with realization, actualization of things, that what keeps it away from you is the magnitude of doubt that you have about it. And the more you're able to remove the doubt about the thing, now the thing has more freedom to come in. And also your lack of doubt, which actually turns into conviction about it, exerts a force in the nature of creation to bring about the actualization of what it is that you're imagining. Yeah. So this would mean, metaphysically speaking, that there's an inverse relationship between what we hope for and how much we doubt its possibility of being real. See, the more doubt you have, the less it becomes real. The more doubt you have about it, the more you undo the possibility of it becoming real. But when you diminish that doubt, then you create the wherewithal for it to come into reality. This means the more we doubt it, the less it becomes real, physically or metaphysically, and the less we doubt it, the more it becomes real, metaphysically and physically. So do you think that it makes a difference that the Quran says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, this is the book in which there is no doubt? Maybe that book is powerful, you think? With that, I'm going to call Hadja back into the room, and we're going to check out, inshallah. All right. You mic'd up? You good?
I am.
You are. So that means everybody can hear you online, and you can hear me. All
did
right.
You unmute
so
me on the Blog Talk phone?
Let's see. Yeah, you're still unmuted. Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
All right.
Because sometimes you like mute me on the Blog Talk.
Okay, so I see your Bilali and Muslima piece right here. Right?
Yes.
That's you.
Uh-huh.
So ATP.
That is me. I dropped the
link
in there, and you can find any and all information there.
All right, alhamdulillah. All right, so what you want to say as we sign off here? Alhamdulillah.
You know, make a plan. Reflect on our past Ramadan. Make a plan for this coming Ramadan as if it is your last. Create more spaces and opportunities to build memories and collect the blessings and how we will execute. Mm-hmm. The way that we put the energy into coming into the new year, let's put that same level of effort and energy into how we come into this month of Ramadan. It's such a gift. It's such a gift. It is a gift. and let us really be grateful and maximize on that experience, stretch ourselves to do more than what we did before in regards to community. We're entering a space where we'll have a chance to commune and pray together and eat together, make a new associate community member that you would like to meet and see how that builds and expands the community itself.
Alhamdulillah. As always, thank you. And I don't know if I'm going to see you before you get out.
I'm going to stop by. I'm going to Oakland. So
okay, good. Well, take you and bring you safely. Alhamdulillah. I look forward to seeing many of you or any of you in Free Haven this weekend. So we'll be there with a, I'll use some market language, cavalcade of stars. At the Free Haven Masjid for a day with the prophets. It's going to be a wonderful, it's a wonderful return of an annual event. For me, it's definitely a return. I don't know if we had the previous, before the COVID, that inshallah we were there. But I look forward to seeing so many of my folks back there on the Philly, Jersey, New York, East Bad, inshallah. Allah's peace be on all. Everybody have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.